Lord. So it's, yeah, that's if there's one thing that I want to get through to everybody through all of this, it's that the same Jesus is in each one of us. I don't have a different Jesus than you. It's the same, you know, the same God, the same Jesus. And he said, whosoever, you know, whatsoever we ask will be done, it's because of Jesus. It's not because of a particular person or this. It is all because of what Jesus has paid for. He bore the stripes. He was crucified on the cross. He resurrected. It's all Jesus, okay? And we, as Christians, get to walk in the benefits which he already provided, you know? The battle is already won. It's no longer a matter of, oh, we got to try and beat the devil. No, he's beaten. He is defeated. The victory is won. The war is already won. And we now walk in the victory that Jesus has provided. Okay. So actually, I just encourage everybody, as you know, the things you're learning here, it's not just so we can gather together and get all a bunch of knowledge in our head and be super spiritual. Spirituality is only good if you can take it out on the street and use it in somebody's life. Otherwise, it's pretty useless. So if we can take this gospel, these words of God right here in this Bible, and we can take that and go out and help set people free in the name of Jesus, that's what it's all about. Okay, so we are here on a mission. Our whole life is a mission. It's not just for missionaries and pastors. Every Christian, every believer has a mission. Because in John 20:21, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, in the same way I send you. Okay, he's talking to all of us here. He's talking to everybody who believes, every follower of Jesus. Yes, there are in the body of Christ, there are people with certain responsibilities, doing certain things. But all of that is focused on the believer. All of the positions in the body of Christ, pastors, teachers, all these things, it is to equip and to prepare believers to walk in the fullness, in maturity in Christ. Okay, there is no higher calling, there is no higher position in the body of Christ than a believer. You understand? So we need to get this and understand this, that we are all called, okay, to walk as Jesus walked, to do the things Jesus was doing, to live as Jesus lived, because it is no longer we that live, Paul said, Galatians 2:20. He said, I do not live. Christ lives in me. I am crucified with Christ. I do not live the life I do live. So you see, it seems like a contradiction, right? I don't live, but the life I live. We're going to read something that explains that. But the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he does not consider himself at all. That's why we don't need to think, do I have enough faith? Can I do that? I'm not sure if I can. We need to wipe that way of thinking out of our mind, because we are dead. Okay? If we are truly in Christ, the old us does not exist. We're gone. We're out of the picture. We don't need to ask ourselves, can I? Do I have enough faith? No. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, God is hoping in his children to understand and walk by faith so that the Holy Spirit can release through us whatever is needed in any situation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. That's our job. See something not right, make it right in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to confirm the word with signs following, okay, which help point people to God. Okay, so it's not about us, it's about what Jesus has done, and we get to walk in what he's provided. Okay, but to do that, we need to walk by faith, right? Okay, and so let's actually look, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to start at verse 13. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. So we were talking about, I was quoting Paul in Galatians 2:20. He was saying, I do not live anymore, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith. So it sounds sort of like he's contradicting himself a little bit, doesn't it? He says, I don't live, but the life I live, you understand? Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. The flesh, our carnal mind, cannot always fully comprehend. But that's why it says here, verse 13, it says, if we are out of our minds, it is for God. Okay, we're at verse 13. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. Okay, so what's Paul saying there? He says, when I am crazy, when I'm out of my mind, it's for God. You know, when he just gets in the spirit, he just, you know, there are no impossibilities. You don't need to explain it, understand it. You just walk in the limitless possibilities and power and love of God in order, whatever is needed to resolve a situation, right? So he said, when he's out of his mind, it's to God. But when he's of a sound mind, it's for you. In other words, when he comes down and tries to explain things using human words, sometimes it sounds even contradictory sometimes. Not really. I mean, you can understand it by the Spirit. But the point is that people are used to thinking a certain way. And when you go and you say, no, it doesn't have to be that way. In Jesus' name, you're healed. You know, to them, that is like crazy for some people in the world who do not understand the reality of God and what Jesus has done. Okay? Because their mind is conditioned to think a certain way. And then here you come as a believer and you say, no, it's not like that. In Jesus' name, get up and walk, or I set you free, whatever. And so it seems crazy to the world, but that, so in other words, we need to put on a new set of spiritual glasses so that we see things in a whole different way. We need to realize we are a new creation in Jesus. We cannot think like we used to think. We are not supposed to just be limited to do what we were able, only what we were limited to do before. Now we walk in Christ. He is in us. We are joined to him. And now our whole way of thinking needs to change in accordance to the Word of God and the promises of God. And remember in 2 Peter 1, it says, by God's promises, we become partakers of his divine nature. Okay? So when we stand on his promises and walk in them, we become partakers of his divine nature. Okay, verse 14, we're in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we consider that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, so that they who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Okay, so Jesus died for all of us. Therefore, says here, we should consider that we all died. If we are in Christ, that means we have been crucified with Christ, the old sinful us, and now the life that we live is by Christ, Jesus, okay? And so we no longer live for ourselves. That's why when you go and when you pray for the sick, for example, or you're setting somebody free and you're sharing the gospel with them, that's why the Holy Spirit does it through you. Because if you go in faith, then the Holy Spirit is there to work. And because you're not doing your own will. You're not there because you want to get something from that person, or you want, you know, something. You're there to give. You're there to be God's body, Jesus' body on this earth to reach out in love to set somebody free, to give them hope, to give them encouragement, to give them a vision for life, to explain to them God loves them, things are not hopeless, they have a future with God, and he loves them so much that he died for them so that they can be united to him. That reminds me, I think it was on Saturday or Wednesday or one of those, one situation that I remember that really touched me was this one lady. She was nursing her baby and sitting there, and she seemed very, like, kind of tough or hardened, and at first I wasn't sure. We went there and asked, there was a few people sitting there, if anybody would like prayer, and nobody said anything. But then I don't know who it was, somebody else, that's why it's nice to go many people, somebody else started talking to her or them, and she asked for prayer because she said life was tough. Life is just, she just wanted prayer that life can be better. That was her prayer request. And so we prayed for her. She accepted Jesus. We prayed for her to be filled with the Spirit, for God just to touch her life and help her to know him, and to that she could experience a new life with Jesus. And just as we, you know, had our hands on her, praying for her, she just started to weep, crying like the Holy Spirit was doing something inside of her, and she just started crying, like cleansing tears of, in a good way, you know, tears of release, you know. And she was just, so somebody was then hugging her and, you know, invited her, I think, here. But, you know, it just touched me because, you know, we walk with Jesus. We are blessed in many ways. But there are people who, we're blessed in every way, but there are people who don't know Jesus. And they're sitting there wondering what else is going to go wrong. Their life is just completely crushed, without hope, without meaning. And, you know, just to see God transform their life just like that, you know, it's a reminder that what we are here to do, okay? We're not here for ourselves. The moment that we accept Jesus and we say, Jesus, I want to walk with you, our life is bought by the blood of Jesus. And from that moment on, we become his body on this earth to reach out and love others and be the love of God to others. Okay? That's what we're here to do. Okay? It's not just about healing bodies and doing miracles and all of that. These things point people to God. They're signs. Mark 16, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. They lay hands on the sick, they recover. Talks about healing and miracles, all these things. But these are, it's not about that, really. These things point people to the love of God, how much he loves them. Okay? So it's just important to remember, it's all about love. Jesus came to this earth because of love. John 3:16, we know that verse. God loved us so much that he gave his son. That's a lot of love. I have my son sitting right here. And for somebody to give their son for people who don't even, in many cases, even want or appreciate, and they're doing evil things, would you give your son for people like that? Well, would you give your life? Because Jesus did, and he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. We go because Jesus paid the price, and we want to do our job that Jesus has for us as well, to bring his love, to be his body to others. Okay, so we're in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, we're at verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we knew Christ according to the flesh, but now we do not know him in this way any longer. Okay, so Paul is saying he doesn't know anybody according to the flesh. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, in times past, we used to walk by sight. What we see, what we are feeling, what we are experiencing with our senses, and we limited ourselves in those things. Okay? But Paul is saying here, he's out of his mind for God, in a good way, and he doesn't know anybody according to the flesh. It doesn't matter what situation you see. Maybe you're out, you know, you see somebody in a, could be a physical situation of sickness, it could be what a financial situation, it could be whatever situation in the flesh. But Paul is saying he doesn't look at that. He looks through that to God and sees what God's will is in that situation and makes it happen through Jesus, through faith, right? That is how we need to walk. We do not look at a circumstance, whether it's physical or whatever, but we operate in the promises of God by his word, and we proclaim what God's will is in that situation. We know God's will from God's word, right? Jesus told us what to do. Go and do these things. So we need to go and do these things. Okay. So we should not limit ourselves to our senses. We, in the case of praying, you pray and you keep going until you see it, right? Like the unrighteous judge, we talked about that last time. The widow kept coming and Jesus was teaching a principle of prayer. You don't stop. When do you stop? You don't stop. You stop when it happens. You understand? I mean, it's already happened in Jesus, but until you see the answer, you keep praying. That's it. You don't take your faith away and say, oh, it didn't work. You keep your faith there. You keep expecting. You keep praying until you see it. Okay? So, therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are gone. They passed away, and all things have become new. You see, even though we are a new creation, a new creature, sometimes we go and we pick up the old way of thinking, right? We are a new creation. We are a new species, some Bible translations say. A new species. Never existed before. But when the Spirit of God comes in you in Christ, you're born again, you are a new species. You're not... How do I want to say this? You are not a normal human being anymore. You are... Paul said, he said... you're speaking like humans, like a man. Or he's saying, you're causing me to have to speak like a man. He's coming down to try to rationalize with them. But he said, let him who speaks speak like the oracles of God. That's what Paul said. In other words, let him who speaks speak only the words of God. How would God speak if he saw that situation that you're worried about? What would God say? What would God do? Well, that's what we need to do in faith. Any circumstance which is not lining up with God's will, we proclaim God's will by faith, and then we see it. That's why he said, believers lay hands on the sick, they recover, because God's will is not for people to suffer and be sick, and Jesus paid for that. So that's why we go and we do that. Okay, we're doing that. So we, all things are new. Don't pick up the old way of thinking. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Jesus? How did Jesus think? What did Jesus do? When he saw that situation, what did he do? That is our mind. That is how we are supposed to do things. That is how we are supposed to think about things. Anything else is not from God. Because Jesus is the will of God, right? He is the Father made manifest in the flesh. He said to Philip, Philip, because Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, I've been so long with you. Don't you know me, Philip? Don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Why do you say, show us the Father? So if we have seen Jesus, we see how he lives, what he did. That is the will of God for us as well. Because we are sent as Jesus is sent. That's what he said. As the Father sent him, so he is sending us as well. Okay, so old things have passed away. Don't pick them up again. Think in a new way. Use the mind of Christ, okay? Think in the mind of Christ. In fact, it says, put on the mind of Christ. It doesn't just happen like contrary to your will. Paul said, put on the mind of Christ. You can put on your clothes, right? No, you know, that's something you have to do. So Paul said, put on the mind of Christ. It is a choice, you understand? It is a choice to think and believe and do what God says and not what our eyes or our senses tell us, you understand? Okay. So, verse 18. So, now all these things are from God, who reconciled, brought us back together to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? So this is our job as a believer, to go and tell people how they can be reconciled to God. When we go out during, you know, in the community here, that's what we're doing. We're going out with the goal of helping people to be reunited with God through what Jesus has provided. That is the gospel. That's the good news. The gospel and good news, I've shared this before with you, but the gospel and the good news is not only that Jesus died or even that he rose again. The good news is what that accomplished. You understand? Why did Jesus die? Why did he raise from the dead? So that we could be united with him and walk in the freedom and salvation that Jesus provided, and beginning to understand what kind of freedom and salvation and power that is. That God himself would give himself and trade places with us. You see, in I think I was going to jumping ahead here, but there's a scripture that says Jesus became sin for us so that we become the righteousness of God in him. Okay? So there was a substitution, a changing of places that happened. Jesus did not just save us by putting a Band-Aid over our sin. It's not that he added something in addition to who we already are. He completely changed places with us. He became sin, and we became righteousness, it says. Okay? The Bible says not just that. Okay, well, let's just jump down to verse 21. That's what it says. It says, he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us on our behalf, so that we become the righteousness of God in him. It doesn't just say that we become righteous. It says we become the righteousness of God in him. God is righteousness. God is love. God is, that's his essence. It's who he is. And he sat us, in Ephesians it says, we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ. Right? We are in him, seated in heavenly places in Christ. So he swapped places with us. He became sin. We became righteousness. And he paid for that. And now we're sitting at, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so are we in spirit. That's what it says in Ephesians 1. You can go and read it. It says we are sitting in Christ in heavenly places. That's why it says also Ephesians 1. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Because we are in God. We are in Christ. In him is every blessing. He is every blessing. He is all righteousness. He is all wisdom. He is all love. And we are in him. What God has joined together, don't separate. That's where we have problems. I know I've said this throughout our meetings, but it's so important. We need to get this understanding that we are in Christ. Therefore, we need to change our way of thinking and stop saying we can't do it. Of course you can't do it, the old you, but you are in Christ. You are joined to him. There is no... What God joined together, let no man separate, okay? So we go in his name. As a wife takes her husband's name, in most cases, she operates in his name, okay? We operate in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 5 compares that marriage to him, okay? We are joined to him. Don't separate, okay? You see, when the devil looks around and he sees somebody who is in Christ, it says our life is hid in God in Christ. That's what the scripture says. So when we operate in Christ, the devil can't even get close, because we're walking in the faith, we're walking in Christ, Jesus is surrounding us, we are in him, and the devil can't even touch us. But the moment we stick our head out and say, I don't think I can, boom, the devil can get you. You know what I'm saying? Stay in Christ. In Christ is the fullness of his promises, the fullness of his blessing. Stay in faith in Christ, because everything that Jesus did, everything that is the essence of who he is, has been given for us to walk in. Okay? So we need that mindset, the mind of Christ. We need to operate in the mind of Christ. Okay, so we have this ministry of reconciliation. We go out, we tell people they can be united with Christ. This is the gospel, the good news, okay? You know, when you tell people this, people can get excited about the gospel, you know? They've heard the gospel in a way that, oh, on a cross, crucifixion, you know, just a bunch of laws, and you can't do this, you can't do that. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that you can be united with God in all of the freedom and joy and salvation which he is, and you can walk in him, you know? That's the gospel. We're united with him. Okay? It's because of what Jesus did. I'm not minimizing that. That's very important. Absolutely. But that was to take us somewhere in God. Okay? Okay, so God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Okay? Not counting sins against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So this is our message for people. Reconciliation. Be united with God. God paid for your sins. Yes, you've done all these bad things, but you know what? Jesus paid for it. All you have to do now is realize that you need him. That, you know, are you ready to just forsake that old junk and to accept and walk in a new life in Jesus? And it's trading. It's amazing. God's love for us. Okay, so Jesus, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's our job as a believer. We are ambassadors for God. There is no higher position than an ambassador for God as a believer. Every one of us, that is our calling, to be an ambassador. Imagine, okay, you're an ambassador for South Africa, or ambassador for the United States, or ambassador whatever. Oh, that's a high position. Well, you have a higher position. You're an ambassador for God. Therefore, we should walk worthy of our calling. We should walk in faith in what God has provided. And that walking in faith means simply to trust God that he is faithful. Don't worry about your faith. Your faith is not in your faith. Your faith is in God. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. He fulfills what he says. We get to go and just walk in the victory Jesus provided. We're ambassadors for God. So, okay, let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 23 and 24. It says that 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 and 24, it says, "We preach Christ who is crucified. To the Jews, this is a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, this is foolishness." Okay, many people will say, foolishness. God crucified on a cross? What's that, you know? But to those who are called, it is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Okay, so I talked last time about being crucified with Christ and what that means. Through Jesus dying, we all died. We walk in a new life. Okay, it's the same thing. And that, Christ, is the power of God. You can't walk in resurrection power if you don't die. Many people try to live like Jesus, but they don't want to die. They want to add Jesus to what they are doing. It doesn't work like that. That is not Christianity. Christianity is not adding Jesus to your schedule. Christianity is being crucified with Christ and walking in a new life, which he has provided by his power. And therefore, we walk in his power in a new life. That's Christianity. Okay? So this is the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you want wisdom, walk in Christ. And ask for wisdom, and he'll give it to you. But walking in Christ, it says the love of God is higher, surpasses knowledge. You may not understand what to do in a certain situation, but if the love of God possesses you, the Holy Spirit inside you knows what to do and will get it done as you go in faith and proclaim it. Okay? All right. So in 1 Corinthians 1, we're still there. I'm going to jump to verse 28. It says, God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world. So we may think, I'm nothing. Well, God chose you to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. So no one can boast in his presence. Okay? So not one of us. We talked last time about fasting and stuff last Monday, right? And we talked about how we cannot twist. Fasting is not to twist God's arm to get him to do something. Was it Isaiah 50-something over there where we studied this? 4 or somewhere over there. It says, the fast which God desires is to do good and to walk in what he's provided. It's not to get God to do something. It's to get ourself, our old way of doing things, out of the way so that we can walk in what God has provided. So the point is, no one can boast. We cannot go lay hands on the sick, see them recover, because, I fasted for this long and I became pretty good and so God could use me like this. No. It is always Jesus, by his grace, through faith, just like we were saved. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. In the same way, we walk in faith every day. Galatians, it talks about that. The person who does miracles doesn't do it by his own goodness or works. It's still by grace, meaning we don't deserve it. God does it anyway, through faith. Okay, so the sooner that we get ourselves out of the picture, we stop thinking about ourselves. Am I good enough? Do I have enough faith? And all this stuff. We just die to all that stuff. And put on the mind of Christ and realize everything we do, it is because of what Jesus has provided and done. That's why we live as Jesus lived. Okay, so no one can boast. We're in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 29. No one can boast in his presence. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, who became wisdom for us. He became our righteousness. He became our sanctification, our redemption. So the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. Okay, so we have nothing to say, oh, look at me, look what I accomplished. No, look at Jesus. That's why when we walk in these things, it brings glory to God. Because we can point to God and say, look what he did. Look what Jesus accomplished. Okay, the moment we start putting our eyes on ourselves, we've lost the understanding of what really is the reality of the situation. That it's always Jesus by his Spirit. Okay, so, all right, let's turn to Ephesians 3, verse 16. I talked a little bit about this, about how love goes beyond knowledge. And when we find ourselves in some situations, we don't know exactly how should I pray, what exactly, you know what, it doesn't. As long as we pray in faith, we speak to that mountain to move. Okay, that's it. The Holy Spirit knows. So Ephesians 3, verse 16, it says, so Paul is praying for some people and he says, oh, that God would grant you according to the wealth of his glory with power to be strengthened through the Spirit in the inward man. That the Christ may finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts through faith. Okay, so I'm going to read this again. It says that Jesus, that Christ, would settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts through your faith. In other words, Jesus and his fullness, the Spirit of God, flows and will feel right at home inside of you when you start putting on the mind of Christ, walking in faith, and when we stop limiting him. Do you understand what I mean? The Holy Spirit is with us. But it says here, the fullness of who he is, the Spirit of God, Christ, will feel at home in our hearts when we, it's through our faith, you see? When we remove all the limitations of our old way of thinking and we consider ourselves dead and we focus on the promises of God and we walk in what Jesus has provided and we proclaim healing and we walk in what Jesus supplied for us, then the Holy Spirit, then Christ can reach out through us and touch the lives of others and he feels at home in us through faith. You see, through faith and trust in God, we act, we let Jesus work and live and touch people through us, and then he feels at home in us because he can work through us. Okay, so it says, feeling at home in your hearts through faith in love, having been firmly rooted and grounded. Okay. So this faith, you know, there's another scripture that says the only thing that matters is faith which works by love. You can, there's people that, you know, they believe that God can do miracles and they'll even put faith in action and they'll see miracles happen. But what really matters is not just to do a miracle. What really matters is faith which works through love. That people can feel the love of God coming through you when that miracle happens. So that when that miracle happens and that person gets healed and they get set free, they are not thinking, oh wow, what a powerful guy who just came to me. They're thinking, wow, God loves me. He just healed me, and they're telling me about Jesus, how I can be united to him, and You see the difference? Faith with which works by love. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13 it says, you can have faith to move mountains, speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. You see, we need to operate in faith. It's very important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He will never feel at home in you if you don't have faith and you don't operate by faith, but faith which is rooted and grounded in love. Rooted is like a tree which has roots. When a storm comes, if a tree has its roots and is strong, the roots go down and that storm can come and blow it all around. You may see things with your eyes that, wow, you know, but, you know, you still are rooted in love. God is love, right? And it doesn't move you because you have the mind of Christ and you think about things the way Jesus would think about it, which is not limited by circumstances. It is limitless in the power and love of God. Okay, so we need our faith. It says, so Jesus feeling at home in our hearts through faith in love, having been firmly rooted and grounded. Okay, so we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Ask God to give us his love, that we can walk in his love. But I tell you, as you go and you start meeting people, as we take this gospel out into the community, love will grow in your heart as you see the needs of people and you look in their eyes and you see God change them and you see what some people, their circumstances are, and you know, faith should be rooted in love, the love of God. We just, you know, our job is going out and loving people. That's what it is, you know. As ambassadors for God, we go out, we love people. We set them free in Jesus' name. We introduce them to Jesus, how they can know him. It's the best, it's the most wonderful job, if I say it like that, in the world, you know? It's the most wonderful privilege in the world that we have, that God put us in this position. Okay, so rooted and grounded in love, so that you, in other words, so Jesus, to feel at home in your heart, life through faith in love, rooted and grounded in order. In other words, all of this is happening so that so that you may be able to grasp or understand with all the other believers, the saints, what is the length, the width, the height, the depth, and to know experientially. That means you experience it. It's not just head knowledge, but you see it, you experience it. To know experientially the love of Christ, which passes beyond all knowledge, in order that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's worth reading again, because you cannot think about things in the old way and understand what this says. I'm going to read that again. It says, okay, operate in faith, rooted in love, so you can understand the love of Christ, which passes all experiential knowledge, so that you can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Okay, that's the measure of the fullness of God. In other words, that's why Jesus said the same things he did, John 14:12, you will do also. And greater things, because he goes to the Father, he sends the Holy Spirit. Now you have the mind of Christ through the Spirit, which is renewed and born. And now you are in Christ, seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, blessed with every spiritual blessing, so that you may be filled up to the measure of the fullness of God. Okay, this is a script, you know, there's a lot of scriptures you should just write down, and you should go and think about these scriptures, meditate on them, which means think about them, not, you know, think about them, let it sink into you and become a part of you. Because by these promises of God, we become partakers of the divine nature of God, 2 Peter 1. Okay, we need to think on these things, let it become a part of us, always keep this before our eyes so that we can begin to renew our mind, Romans 12:2, to the reality and the mind of Christ. Okay? So, verse 20, to the one who is able to do beyond all things, beyond everything that we are asking for ourselves and considering, in the measure of the power which operates in us, so the power of God is operating in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus into all generations. So it says, to him, to God, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever, into all generations. What is that saying there? It says, the Bible says that the glory of God is revealed in the church. That's you, okay? That's us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's glory is revealed through his body, through the church. That's you. That's every believer. God wants to shine forth his glory through you. Okay? Because we are the body of Christ in this world. That's what Paul said. We are his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay? So verse 21 says, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is sharing his glory with his body, with the church. Okay, of course, don't get me wrong. You see, there's a fine line of understanding here. We are not Jesus. We are not God. We will worship him forever. Don't get me wrong. But we need to understand what position Jesus has brought us into in himself. John 17 says, Jesus prayed that we would be one in him as he is one in the Father, that we may be united together. Okay? So there is that aspect that we are seated in him, in heavenly places. We are in him. It is all to God be the glory, Jesus our Lord and Savior. But we need to understand that he is sharing his essence with us. We're not God, but he is sharing who he is with us, and we can walk in him. Okay? All right, let's finish here because I have more, but we're not going to make it all through tonight. But if there's one thing I just want you to get from tonight, it's we are dead, okay? Put on the mind of Christ. Learn to walk in what Jesus has provided. And then we will do the things that Jesus did by the power of his Spirit. People will get set free. People will come to a relationship with God. And that is, you are an ambassador for Jesus. Every day, not just when we go out together in the community, but every day, all the time, you are an ambassador. You see a situation, go ahead and do something about it. You see somebody sick, pray for them. You know, I've made it a lifestyle habit, choice. It's not just when I'm here. Where, if I go to the shop, or I go wherever, if I see somebody who, you know, they look like they need prayer, you know, I do it. Why? Because that's an opportunity for that person to be pointed to God, the reality of God, that they can know he's real, that he loves them. It should be a life that we live, not something we turn on and off on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or on a Saturday, whatever. It's something, it's a reality and a mindset through which we live every day. It's who we are. We're in Christ. Okay. Anybody have any questions or anything? Or
yeah, it's made you for question of faith. The verse it talks about the 10 lepers went to Jesus to be healed. Jesus said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest."
Uh huh.
The last time, he said it doesn't matter whether the person believes or not. So what I'm trying to understand is, don't you think that faith played a role there?
That faith played a role?
Yeah, because as they were on their way to the priest, they were healed. But only one.
Yeah.
Leper came back to thank Jesus for what he'd done.
Uh-huh.
And the incident of the old woman who had a bleeding problem for 12 years.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Jesus said, your faith is made.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You see, any person can get healed by themselves with Jesus through their own faith. Absolutely. In fact, I encourage people whenever I'm speaking in a group, say, listen, you don't need me to lay my hands on you or somebody else. You yourself can get your healing by faith, coming to Jesus by faith. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not necessary that somebody... The thing is that if somebody does not have faith for that, then we as a believer can go and bring that to them. And most of the people that Jesus dealt with did not have that faith for that. And so he was showing them the reality and the love of the Father by healing them. And so it was a sign for unbelievers. Healing is really a sign for unbelievers, because a believer can get healing for themselves. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? So definitely somebody can have faith and get healed by themselves. All I was saying before is that it's not necessary, a requirement in every case, for a person to have faith. Because in James 5, it talks about, if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So obviously the person who is sick there was having trouble to believe God for their healing. And even then, no condemnation. Somebody, you know, it says those who are strong in faith are supposed to support the weak, right? So there's no condemnation. So we can pray for each other, and definitely for unbelievers who have, I mean, there was the dead man. How much faith did the dead man have when Jesus raised him, right? No faith at all, right? So there's definitely, and there's other times Paul said, seeing he had faith to be healed, he said, okay, be healed. So definitely you can get healed by your own faith as well. But it doesn't have to be that way. And any believer can walk in the power of God and bring healing to somebody who doesn't have faith. So it's both. It can be both. Yeah. Good question. Yeah. Yeah, that's why he said it's good. Matthew 9:29 as well. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be unto you. So if you believe that you will get healed when you touch the hem of his garment, like that woman, then that's what will happen. If you believe you can just sit there and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. If that is where your faith is, that is what will happen. So God operates according to the faith of people, right? Even as believers, when we go and we pray for somebody, you get what you have the faith for. Okay, that is why our example should always be Jesus, how he did it. Don't ever look to another person and say, oh, look at Jesus, see what he did. He is our standard. I am not your standard. Anybody here is not your standard. Our standard is Jesus. What did he do? That's what you can do. So So don't ever limit yourself by thinking through just other people, but Jesus is our standard. Yeah. And you know, Jesus told the 10 lepers to go show himself to the priest because that was the law. Jesus put himself under the law because he had not been crucified. He had not set people free from the law yet. At that time, he put himself under the law. And part of the Jewish law was that after healing, you need to go show yourself to the priest so they can make sure. That was the law. So Jesus submitted under the law, told them to do that, and as they went, they were healed. So, you know, when Jesus was walking on this earth, everybody was under the law still. Now, Romans 7:4 says we are not under the law. Jesus resurrected. He set us free from the law. So there's nothing like that. But at that time, that's the way they did it, under the law.
Thank you. tablet, and then I believe strongly on it.
Yes.
Even people who come to hospital, they believe that I'm going to die.
Mm.
But me, deep down in my yes. heart, I knew that I've already made it.
Yes.
So to fulfill that, your faith can heal you.
Yes.
And then people always came. I remember at the hospital we were speaking like this, it's a bed and it's a bed and it's a bed and it's a bed. This lady died and then I made it. When they come and check to this lady, and then they said, no, we didn't think that's it. Hey, but they look at me like this and then this one. And then in my heart, I felt strong, and then I knew that I won't die and I'm going to walk out this hospital alive.
Yes.
And then I am alive even today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Very much alive. Good. Yes. Yeah, so that's absolutely right. I mean, there was a man named John Lake. He was very well known when he was alive for walking in the power of God and healing and all of that. But somebody wanted him to pray for them. And in this occasion, he wanted to teach faith to this person. So he said, I'm not going to pray for you. You sit down. He asked her a question. He said, where is Jesus? And she said, well, in me, because she was a believer, right? Jesus is in me. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So is the life of God in you in Christ? She said, yeah. So that life which is in Christ, let it out. Sit down there and just do that. And so she was sitting down thinking about, so Jesus is life. Jesus is in me. Jesus, who is healing people, he's in me. He's life. So she finally understood what that means, and she just caught up and said, I'm healed, you know, because she understood that the life is in her. God is in her, and she just released that by faith. You know, that's why Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus, get up. He gave that life through faith, and that's what we do. Jesus is the life. We are freely give, freely. Jesus said, you freely receive, freely give. Give just what God has given to us. Something more valuable than money, the life of God, which can heal their entire being, you know? So it's, yeah. Yes. Anybody else have something to share? Yeah? You want to say something?
I just wanted to add out this faith. Because now I see your mission, two dimensions of that faith. There was an incident that happened to me one day. I went to see my brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was having a groan on his back.
Having a what?
A groan. No, a groan.
A groan? Like a growth?
Yeah, yeah.
Something growing there? Okay.
Then, as I came back here, then that growth was onto me.
Uh-huh.
Then it was painful.
Mm.
If you just move a muscle,
yeah,
very painful.
Mm.
Then the whole night, that night, I was like praising God. Praising.
Yeah.
But then in the morning, because it was still there,
yeah,
I said, oh God, but it was still there.
Yeah.
Then I told myself now that no, let me go to the clinic. Maybe they will do something.
Mm-hmm.
I walked to the clinic. Then, because if you come late, they at the clinic, they can cater maybe for some certain number of people.
Right.
So they cut me off.
Oh.
And it was, I couldn't walk.
Oh.
I could barely walk. I can even maybe stop for a minute just listening to that pain.
Yeah.
As I walk, I remember I walked down here when I was about to cross to that road that is going straight to where I was staying. Then something just was telling me just to step, because yeah. I was just walking like.
Yeah.
Then I stepped. Now I stepped and nothing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to feel that thing. Where is it?
Yeah.
It was gone.
Yeah.
By then I remember I read a certain just book. It was written by guys called Bernard Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that we haven't lost faith, mm-hmm. but we have transferred it to the medical
Yeah.
Then I remember that.
Yeah.
The thief was all gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In that case, I believe that God healed me because now I was tired of this thing.
Yeah.
But now I couldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't believe it was my faith.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
was just God.
Yes.
It just showed me.
Yeah. 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 God still reaches out, you know, in his mercy and, you know, there, he's not limited to, you know, but there is a dimension when we understand, when we walk as a son of God and what he's provided, then there is another dimension which opens up to us. But certainly God does things like that, you know, and it's wonderful to hear when God just, you know, when does that. So it's like, it's kind of like when you have a child. Sometimes, you know, you find yourself doing a lot of things for your child until that child grows, and then he realizes how he can do it for himself. You know, I mean, it's still because of, it's all because of what Jesus has done, but you know what I mean? Like, it's, that's the difference between a gift of healing and operating in the power of God as a son of God, just simply as a believer, because a gift of healing, maybe if somebody doesn't really have the faith, but God does it through them as a gift, right? 1 Corinthians 12 talks about various gifts. But God doesn't want us to abide in the area of gifts. He wants us to go and operate in the fullness of Christ as a son. And that's more than operating in a gift, you see. We don't need to depend on gifts. We have every spiritual blessing, right? That's what Ephesians says. Everything Jesus is, that is who is inside of us. So he wants us to operate out of his fullness and not just as a out of gifts. And that's part of maturity and growing up into Christ. You know, the Bible talks about growing up into Christ.
If you can explain to me... about the centurion, Luke 7, it says...
Yeah.
It says the faith of the centurion...
Yes.
He said to Jesus, you are not worthy to come to my house.
Yes.
I'm a man of authority. I tell people to do this and that, and they do it.
Right.
The things I tell them.
Right.
He said to Jesus, just give me, just do, give me the order.
Say the word, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So was it based on what? Order... instruction of faith.
Yeah, it was based upon authority, because if we understand authority, then we can understand faith. Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power and authority has been given unto him, right? And therefore, he gives that authority unto us. In that situation, he was a soldier, so he understood authority. He recognized that Jesus had authority from God. God-given authority over sickness and disease. That's why he came to him. And Jesus saw that this centurion understood that principle of faith, that God's authority, when you operate in God's authority, you know, things happen. The centurion recognized that, and that's why Jesus said that he never saw such faith in anybody else in Israel like that centurion had, because he understood the principle of authority that Jesus had from his Father. And that is the authority that he gives to us. He says, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So you see, that's why we can lay hands on the sick and they recover, because of the authority that Jesus has given to us as his body in order to command that to happen. And that centurion recognized that authority. And that's what faith is, recognizing God can do it. He has authority to do it. He wants to do it. He will do it when you come to him. And that's what that, that's what faith is. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but let's agree to disagree.
About what?
I'm talking about Christians.
About what?
Christians. I'm not
Christians?
Talking about here, outsiders.
But what do you mean?
Faith has to play a role.
You mean... you mean to say that you don't believe somebody can be healed unless they have faith?
No.
Is that what you mean?
No.
Or what do you mean?
I'm saying that now I'm talking about Christians, the people who know God, not outsiders.
Yeah.
that faith has to play a role.
Okay, yeah, like in my case.
Like, for example, if I'm a Christian, right,
yeah.
I have to believe that once you lay hands on me, definitely I'm going to get healed, right?
Oh, I see what you mean. So you mean unbelievers, you think that they can get healed without having faith, but you don't think that believers can get healed unless they have faith. Is that what you mean? That it's different for that God would allow unbelievers to get healed, but not his children, unless they have faith, right? What about James 5? It says, if any among you, those are believers, right? James 5, if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, so they're part of a church, right? And the prayer of faith done by the elders will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So that's prayer for a Christian who obviously did not have faith, otherwise they would not have called the elders to pray for them, right? So you see what I mean? So even for Christians, you know, if God is merciful on unbelievers, how much more would he be merciful with his children, right? Yeah. Any other questions or anything? Good questions. Every question is good because, you know, we can learn something from, we always learn by talking about these things, looking at the scriptures. So every question is good.
Thanks for listening to this audio. If you'd like more information or audio teachings, please visit our website at www.livingavision.org. That's www.livingavision.org. We're always looking for people who want to work together to make a real impact in the world and in the lives of those around them. So if you're someone like that, we'd love to hear from you.